ونعمة من ربنا يسوع المسيح عليكم جميعا. Grace and peace upon you all from our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Johnny.
And Jimmy.
And you're listening to
Norfolk.
Hello, welcome to Norpod today.
Hello.
Today we're going to be talking about the four F's that block missionaries from going to the Middle East or attempt to.
It's going to be a fun one.
Okay, the first one we're going to be talking about is family. Now, a lot of folks, family really is one of the biggest things blocking them from getting involved in missions.
Because most of us are very close to our families, and even if we don't realize it, their words and actions really affect us.
Also, you know, like for instance, if you have a family, it's mostly unbelievers. That'll also make things quite a bit more difficult for you. I remember one time a couple of years back, there was a missionary that was out here, and we got a poster on the message board that was saying that Arabs for Christ was a terrorist organization and that they actually were abducting their missionaries. And this missionary, actually it was before he came out, and I was looking around and I noticed the place that was posting it was the same house this missionary was in. It was his mom.
Oh,
it was quite funny. But I mean, I've seen tons of stuff like this. You know, you hear, you know, folks getting called by their parents all the time, telling them that horrible things are happening when really it isn't that bad. I mean, it's something that's been going on for ages. I mean, it says in Luke chapter 9. Let's see here. It says, starting out verse 57, as they went on their way, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lie down and rest. He said to another man, follow me. But the man said, sir, let me go back and bury my father. Jesus answered, let the dead bury the dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Someone else said, I will follow you, sir. First let me go and say goodbye to my family. Jesus said to him, anyone that starts to plow and keeps looking back is no use for the kingdom of God. In this little section here, you can see all these little four F's in here, kind of. For instance, the first one, family. You know, you see a man saying, let me go bury my father, or a man saying, let me go say goodbye to my family. Both of these are met with rebuke from Jesus.
It's a really tough thing. It's a tough an idea for the flesh or for the human way of thinking to just be able to leave your mom and your dad or your brothers or anybody you may call family or very close friends unless we have a clear idea and understanding of what missions are or why you're going to go to this country or that city or that town to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 19, Jesus is speaking to the disciples when he says, verse 29, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake shall receive many times as much and shall inherit eternal life. Eternal life should be the focus. And if it's not, that's when, especially this first F, family, really gets to become a tough issue.
The second one is finances. And again, we see that here also, where Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lie down and rest. You see the same thought, you know, the missionaries, the people, the would-be missionaries I've met, that have said, I need to stop and save money before I can go out. I have not seen any of them come back. And it, they're not, most folks are just not willing to make sacrifices.
All right, so we're back. I hope you enjoyed listening to that.
To lie down and rest.
Hopefully you had a chance to
And in other words, we shouldn't be, you know, trying
okay,
to...
Okay, so,
look
you know, in summary, we looked at the four F's here that can
cause obstruction to a missionary. Family, finance,
I think it's definitely
physical with an F,
finance and education with the silent F.
All right, so,
earlier,
so these are the four major things. What's yours? Is this really an obstacle or an excuse for you?
But at the same time, we tend to look. I think we all have finances so often because that's what's at hand. That's because of our conscience. If God's called us,
makes the world go round.
His gospel, which he's given a general call
to
all those who repented and put their trust.
There's a saying that they say in Praise Chapel in California where God leads, he provides.
What are we going to do now?
Although sometimes you won't see the providing.
Are we going to drop everything, pick up our cross and follow him?
Until after, you know,
it's,
you won't necessarily see it until you're already there. In other words, you gotta still take that jump.
Put everything in a box.
You say, I'm going to go to the Middle East, and all of a sudden your pockets are flooded with cash. You might go there and
drag them along with us.
Be pretty broke.
What are we going to do?
You know, you just got to be ready for anything.
The bottom line is, are we putting our trust in Christ or in ourselves
here? Side of the coin, I guess you'd say.
So up next, we're going to listen to a quick song, and then after that it's going to transition into a little interview Jimmy had with a brother from Switzerland while we were in Iraq a couple of years back.
In that direction to become missionaries and have
so may God bless you
long-term
all.
Bless you, monthly
and if you are trying to learn Arabic real quick, check out arabsforchrist.org/learn-arabic.
Shameless promotion. Society lives
and
live just like people with regular jobs like you should go out in the States.
Then you also, I mean, you got two things here. You got, I'm reminded of the first time that Jesus sends out the disciples in Matthew 10. He says, let's see, here we are. Oh, okay, go and preach the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Bring the dead back to life. Heal those who suffer from dreaded skin diseases and drive out demons. You have received without paying. So give without being paid. Do not carry gold, silver, or copper money in your pockets. Do not carry a beggar's bag for the trip, or an extra shirt, or shoes, or a walking stick. Workers should be given what they need. When you come into a town or a village, go in and look for someone who is willing to welcome you, and stay with them until you leave the place. When you go into a house, say, peace be upon you. If the people in that house welcome you, let your greeting on peace remain. So, I mean, you see this really kind of an idea here that we can just kind of go in by faith. But then we also have the Great Commission here at the end. Here in a second. Yep. One moment here. Switching pages still. So, you see Jesus saying here, the 11 disciples came to him on the hill. Actually, this is not the exact account I wanted here. Anyhow, what you see is you see a difference in when Jesus sends them out for the Great Commission. He does not tell them to go without all these different things. You don't have this same clear command of going on simply by faith. And so, I mean, God definitely does provide, is what I'm trying to say. But at the same time, once God has provided and you are able to financially go out, then definitely do that. But if you're not, both ways you need to be able to go by faith. So the next F we have is kind of a little bit funnier, is physical.
It's physical with an F, if nobody caught that.
So again, when we saw the earlier example I read from Matthew, we have, you know, let the dead bury the dead. I mean, we have, when you're going out, and if you have physical disabilities or if you have someone else with physical disabilities, you still have to go. It's not, it doesn't give you excuse.
A question that I've been asked by family and friends and people even here in the mission field several times is that, what if something happens to one of my family members, or what if somebody dies, or or like these physical issues, or what if you get sick, Jimmy? And you know, up until now, and I would still answer no, that the Lord definitely does provide, and like it was very clear when the Lord told the man, "Let the dead bury the dead." I mean, there's not too much we can do other than pray for souls, seek souls for seek lost souls for the kingdom of God, and serve Him, and answer the call that He has in our life. But most of the time does not cover, you know, nursing somebody or going and burying them. He made that very clear. So, yeah.
Also, like personally, I know myself, I have pretty bad asthma, and sometimes it's been really a handicap. But I would much rather be out here and being able to do stuff, even if I got really, really sick. And I was only able to do evangelism a couple hours a week. Much rather be able to do that here than to be, you know, in the States somewhere, not being able to do anything, getting stuck in the house. I mean, it's difficult, but you still just, you got to force yourself to do it. Even in personal evangelism, if you're in the States, you need to just continue to force yourself. I mean, this does not just apply to people coming out to the Middle East. Wherever you're at, you're called to go, whether it's to your neighbor or to the place down the street. These things will still apply. You'll still have family opposition, perhaps. You might have financial opposition, thinking, okay, I need to work 12 hours a day. But in reality, you could probably get by working 6 and then use the other hours for ministry. Or, yeah, there's a lot of the same things could happen if you're trying to minister in the States.
As far as ailments and sicknesses go, I mean, I just know, personally speaking, that some of the greatest witnessing encounters or contacts or sweetest people that you meet are through these somewhat weak times when our bodies are failing us or it seems like we're, you know, just the sickest that we could be. We know a missionary lady in the West Bank who she is very physically ill and yet is still an incredibly bold witness for Jesus Christ to anybody who comes into her door and still even gets out to share the gospel.
We also know, for instance, that George Whitfield, he suffered really badly from asthma in his life, and yet he was known as one of the greatest street preachers that ever lived. Mm-hmm. He actually died of an asthma attack. You know, it would have been horrible if he would have just lived 5 extra years and he would have been living in a bed somewhere resting rather than using all of his strength to preach the gospel. I mean, think of how many people he's changed, how much history has been changed for this one man. The next F is also another quirk or change, if you will. Feducation.
Feducation.
That's education with a F. Silent F, if you want.
Yeah. Education with a silent F.
There's a lot of different groups that have very high requirements for coming out to the Middle East. For example, Korean missionaries, they're encouraged to get married and also have a diploma in their hands before they'll get supported by any church. However, this can cause some very difficult problems, as it can cause make it very difficult with Arabic. Actually, I think I'll include this clip from Oklahoma with this. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, it's a good one. There's a really good example of education and really what it gets you. And we're not speaking, and by no means are we bashing education or seminary trained brothers and sisters who really dedicated themselves to years of studying the gospel and looking at previous years and people of in the field, in the mission field. But at the same time, it's not the only road, and there's not a textbook on the missions. There's not a textbook on God's calling in our lives. So there you go.
So the clip I'm going to play right now is a clip from I believe it's from Oklahoma. They have a very well-financed Arabic department there.
In Oklahoma University. University of Oklahoma.
You kind of understand the words if you know Arabic, but it's somewhat sad. I mean, you can learn Arabic in the States by going to a university, but will people be able to understand you afterwards? You know, education is really good, but biblically, I think the main kind of seminary we see is discipleship, and I think that's really what people need more these days rather than a test and book kind of a curriculum. Especially, I mean, even though we are thinking about doing a discipleship or a training center ourselves in the States, it's probably more going to be focused on discipleship rather than simply question and answers. With that said, so we're going to play this clip for you all now. I'm just going to play it for 30 seconds and because that's all I can handle of listening to it. So enjoy.
Now, we're going to have you listen to this interview of a sweet brother of in Christ who we interviewed in 2007 and in the summer of 2007 in Kurdistan, Iraq. And he specifically is talking about the struggles and the state of the church in northern Iraq. So here you go.
If you just tell us kind of the history of the church in Kurdistan. And
what's going on, what happened, you know.
We can be very encouraged what God is doing among the Kurds, but do not forget that it's only about 16 years that the Kurds in North Iraq, actually, in the country itself, could have been reached. Even the Christian, there are about 2% Christian minorities. The evangelical church among the Christian background believers is only about 6-8 years old. Mm. So we really have to pray for God to raise up leaders. The church in the North Iraq is struggling greatly to find leaders that are example, leaders that can actually organize, leaders that can help them to grow spiritually. And so please pray that God would raise up strong leaders that love, that serve the church with their different giftings. As well, when we look at Kurdistan, because of the tribal different wars and because of the war with Saddam, is still a country that needs a lot of development. Most of the people, in their hearts, they are still farmers, coming from the villages, and often are overwhelmed by the fast development of economical and especially technical goods. So they want to profit from all the fast developments. They want to have the nicest thing, the nicest car, the nicest electronics. Mm-hmm. But then, how can they live with it? And as well in Kurdistan, there is hardly anything produced because they have not been used to produce things. In the past, there was no need. Life was very simple. They sow and it grew. After 3 months, they harvest. They put grapes in, the wine in the earth, and they waited until the harvest came. So, but there are great opportunities today in North Iraq in a special way to reach the people. The people need love, they need somebody to that care for them, and of course they need people to come along, the Christians, to help them to become more effective in their ministry. When it comes to the Kurds, originally they probably are descendants of the Medes after the Persians and the Medes. So of course they are still are mixed people, but most of them they believe they are descendants of the Medes. And in the 3rd century, there were a lot of Christians in this area. But then mysticism and the church has lost its salt because it became very mystical. and there were very few leaders among them, and the gospel was very little known. So the salt was lost, and when Islam came, successively more and more Kurds embraced Islam out of very different reasons. There was a persecution, a very hard persecution in the 16th century, where then a great degree of the church was wiped out. But we thank the Lord that this is the time, I believe, that He has given for the Kurds to be reached. And in North Iraq there is much freedom. In other areas there is less freedom, but there still needs to be more workers in Turkey and in Syria to work among the Kurds. Please pray that God would raise up laborers, and God would, especially among the indigenous, to raise up faithful workers that bring the gospel to all the different families and tribes of the Kurds.
Hi, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. If you ever have any prayer requests, feel free to go over to the Arabs of Christ website and go to the message boards. We always love to hear from you guys. And Lord bless you guys. Thank you for joining us today.
He left his home, his power, his position. He emptied himself and lived here as a human. And when the time was right, he stepped into the Jordan. He was baptized and filled with the Spirit, and he began to move in power. As the Father sent me, so I send you. The fields are white with harvest, but the workers are few. Your sins have been forgiven. Everything I do, you can do. And as the Father sent me, so I send you, so I send you. All of the books in the world cannot hold the things that he did, but he sent me to those who questioned him. Of myself I can do nothing. Father's voice did just what he saw and heard. He did miracles in the power of the Spirit, led by the Father's word. And he said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. The fields are white with harvest, but the workers are few. This is what he said.